Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present our spectacular show of podcast magic and imagination, full of Disney wonder, news, and pop culture. It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast with Jen Novotny and David Dollar.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Dave.
It's the Main Street Electrical Podcast. Episode 199. We are one away from 200, which is kind of a good milestone there. That's not a lot. That's not a milestone a lot of podcasts get to. And then, of course, after 200, we push to 300, which will probably be in a couple of years. We'll probably do 300 in spring of 2026 because that's only about 18 months away, Jen. Exciting today because our good friend Kyla has a birthday today. You have coming up in a month or so. So you guys have birthdays coming up.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, something like that. And so, exciting all around. Jen, how did you Disney this week?
Oh, gosh. Disney today, it's full of coffee, but there it is. Grand Floridian mug.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I got back from Disney World yesterday, early morning, leaving the parks. Of course, every year, as I mentioned before, our son has a doctor's appointment down in Melbourne, Florida. So as one would do, we would take a 2-hour doctor's appointment, wrap a 7-day Disney vacation around it. And that's exactly what we did. And they have this new thing now at Disney where I'm famous for my shirts. People love the shirts. They love the pattern shirts and the Hawaiian shirts or whatever. Well, yeah. Disney has started coming out with baseball jerseys now. I don't know if you've seen these or not, but like
I've
the jerseys.
I've seen a couple of them.
And I'm like, I'm not buying any jerseys. I'm not going to buy jerseys. Why would I buy jerseys? And of course, now I'm wearing my Tomorrowland jersey.
Except I see you in a jersey.
I'm wearing my Tomorrowland jersey, which I couldn't help because they released new merch the weekend that we were there. It's like I think Saturday or Sunday. We walked through after Space Mountain, and of course, my lovely wife is like, look at this. Oh, my gosh. Or she'll say, OMG, David Dollar, what she'll say. And then, as soon as she says that, I know that whatever it is she's looking at, we're likely going to get because she doesn't get that excited about me. She gets excited about Doonies and clothing, as one would do, as you would do, honestly. And so, she picked up the Tomorrowland Spirit jersey, and she was like, this is so cute. I was like, and look at the jersey, the baseball jersey beside it. And, of course, we're like, well, we have that annual pass discount. Let's go ahead and get it. And we did. And the annual pass discount really is costing us more money than anything else because you have that mentality of like, oh, I'm saving 20%. I can get this. They're giving me money. I mean, they're practically paying me to take this off of their hands.
You're using girl math, David Dollar.
I'm using exactly girl math. It's really sad, which I didn't really buy a whole lot of shirts this time around because I bought them all, several weeks ago when we all went down for the race. And so let's get to some news.
It's all the news that's fit to print with David Dollar and Jen Novotny.
Yeah! News!
So we're going to jump on some quick news here real quick. First of all, Tiana's Bayou Adventure has an update again. They released an attraction poster, which again, it's the power of Disney that everybody gets excited over a poster. It's like, oh, look, there's Tiana on the yellow background in a cute outfit. It's the attraction poster. Yay! I mean, that's...
Right, cool. Right.
Have you been there to see in person the boats going now? Have you seen the water of the boats?
Yes, I have seen that when I was there in March. Okay. I did get to see them running a little bit.
Yes, it's kind of exciting. You're watching the boats. Yeah. Like, ooh, the boats running. We saw a lot of that. And of course, they have released characters, brand new characters to the parks, which will be coming to the parks, I guess. And I think last week it was a batch of characters playing instruments. Benalia, Bo, Gritty, Apollo, Timoleon, and Rufus. Those are the characters from last week.
Now, yes, which we talked about. Heather would like the stuffy of Bo.
I'm kind of partial to, I think, Rufus the turtle, I believe. That's the one that's playing
the
turtle.
I think Rufus was the turtle.
Yeah, I kind of like Rufus. Rufus the turtle. Now, I didn't realize this. Maybe I didn't read the fine print. But apparently, they are going to be playing Zydeco music. And for those who
yes.
know about Zydeco but don't know anything about Zydeco, maybe they've heard the term but they don't know what Zydeco mm-hmm. is. It is a blues and rhythm and blues mixture indigenous to the Louisiana Creole. So it's coming up, mm-hmm. basically it's originating in Louisiana. The French accordion, there's washboard instruments called the frottoir, I believe. Also, mm-hmm. you know, really unique instruments. Sometimes they're handmade instruments, homemade instruments, as right. you know, you would imagine critters from the wild would be doing, making their own instruments right. as animals would do, right? This week they've released another set. Let me pull up my thing here. Bernadette, the Louisiana Black Bear, who enjoys life and splashing in the waters for a bayou, and she's playing some sort of trumpet. Also playing the trumpet, Claude, the Louisiana Black Bear. And then with that, you'll have Sebastian, the Louisiana Black Bear, and I think there might be a family, actually.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And so you've got Pawpaw the Bobcat. He's the devoted grandfather to Octavia the Bobcat. And we've also got, my thing keeps blanking out here. 3, 4, 5. That's Pawpaw. We've got Octavia. Yeah. And Fina the Gray Fox. So she'll be a drummer.
What's her name?
Fina. P-H-I-N-A. Fina. Fina.
Okay.
Fina?
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
So they're going to be playing a version of music called Rara, and I'm afraid I'm mispronouncing that. It may be Rebe or may be pronounced. I have no idea. I don't know. But it's a form of festival music originating in Haiti, and it's used for street processions, typically during Easter week in New Orleans. And they have a lot of very unique instruments, makes a lot of very unique different sounds. Again, I cannot tell you the difference in these instruments or these. Maybe if I heard them like long term, I could probably start studying. Yeah. I don't know. But there's another batch of critters coming out next week. Don't know anything about them. Don't know, you know, what music they'll be playing, but that's coming out next week.
So we'll do any of them look similar? Because like last week, Heather and I were talking about certain critters that looked a little bit similar to critters who were in Splash Mountain.
They do, and I think some will be repurposed.
That's what we were wondering, because like I always love finding the Easter eggs of like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I remember that possum was doing this, like, you know.
Well, and I'm not sure that a lot of those animals in the previous Splash Mountain actually had a name. So maybe we're giving them names for the first time, or they're kind of twists on the old names of these characters. I don't know
that they all had that. So
I just don't know. Yeah. But that's cool. Tiana's Bayou Adventure is testing now with empty boats. I think they selected a couple of cast members, special cast members, to try the ride not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And so opening up sometime this summer, which I like the fact that it's running. It's building excitement. There's a big sign that says, sorry, folks, we're just testing because, you know,
no soft opening.
Almost there. That's coming as well. It'll be opening sometime this summer. If I had to guess, I would say around Memorial Day, because Splash Mountain is a hot water ride. It's a ride you want to take in the heat because you get a little bit wet and everything, mm-hmm. and they want to get the benefit of the entire summer. I could be wrong.
Does that sound feasible? Oh, that sounds right to me. It's super hot in Florida.
Right.
Also, that'll eat up some lines. Truthfully.
Line eater. Yes.
That'll be a line eater.
So what I'm hearing you say is that definitely it's open Memorial Day weekend. Whoever you know, I understand. So you were saying,
I'm pretty sure that's what I said, except I didn't. That's not what I said at all.
Maybe you're paraphrasing.
One of the two of us is probably paraphrasing.
Maybe. Down the street, I-4, a new update on Universal's Epic Universe. Universal has given us a brand new look at How to Train Your Dragon. Now, if I understand, Jen, you don't know much about How to Train Your Dragon. Is that fair to say?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So How to Train Your Dragon is movies that were released several years ago. There's three of them now. It's a Universal release. It's an animated feature. Mm-hmm. And they're fantastic. When I walked out of the first one, I remember looking at my lovely wife, Stephanie, and saying that could have been a Pixar movie because it was just that good. It's a very good story. The dragon, the main dragon is named Hiccup. Toothless. Hiccup is the guy.
Okay.
And over the three movies, you kind of watch his journey from young lad who's, you know, because at the very beginning, the Vikings and the dragons did not get along. So this young lad meets this dinosaur named Toothless, and they kind of become friends. And through their friendship, the dinosaur community and the human Viking community kind of come together and work together and live cohesively. Okay. And the second movie and third movie, there were threats to their existence, so they banded together to fight or whatever. It's going to be a huge area. So what Universal has been doing is they've been releasing these portals or this information about portals, because the portals are the big round circles. As you walk into the main area, mm-hmm. you know, you go into the Mario Land, Mind or the Dark Universe or whatever. So we're getting information on each portal. The island, Isle of Berk section. The Berk is kind of the island that these everybody lives on. And okay. So you're going to find Hiccup's Wing Gliders, which is a family thrill coaster. Okay. The Untrainable Dragon, which is a dragon show. The Fire Drill, okay. which is a wet and wild boat battle on the water.
Okay.
The Dragon's Racer Rally, which is a spinning, twisting ride. Viking Training Camp, which is a play camp for kids. Hiccup mm-hmm. and Toothless Meet and Greet, which is going to be pretty cool to meet Toothless. Mead Hall is the main food restaurant. Spitfire Grill is a quick service. And Hooligans Grog and Gruel will be the main, I guess, the quick bites like snacks and things like that. So
that's more in there than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in here. I mean, Universal is going crazy on this. I mean, they're putting huge rides in every single portal.
Wow.
The video looks incredible. The pictures, the renderings look incredible. It's going to be incredible. The funny thing I saw after this was released on March 28th was Disney had also released that they're putting new wraps on their buses. Apparently 90 buses are now being introduced into the fleet. They're updating them and everything.
Good.
So the bus that I saw had Ratatouille on the side, and somebody was like, Disney, look at our rat bus. Universal, we got dragon roller coasters. So yeah, we will just wait until D23 and see what happens and just, you know, cross our fingers and
I will say that does sound exciting. However, for someone like me who's never seen How to Train Your Dragon, I have no interest in seeing How to Train Your Dragon. I didn't care then. So mm-hmm. it's not like it's exciting.
Right.
I will be interested to go see it. I mean, because I always like to go see something new. But it like there is zero nostalgia for me. I'll be like, cool.
And that's the way it is with Avatar. Great. I mean, honestly, I think with a lot of people were like, I don't care about Avatar. And yet love the ride. And so I think a lot of people.
Oh, and I do love the ride. It's great.
You know, and unfortunately with Avatar, there are two movies that are approximately 17 hours each. So it's hard to revisit those all the time. With How to Train Your Dragon, you have three films that kids love. So this is really geared towards kids.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be easy to revisit those movies, you know, at any point in time. And it probably will drum up some interest on those.
Avatar will at this point.
Now, Avatar is a better made movie. It's a beautiful film. It's just mm-hmm. technologically a masterpiece. I've seen it once. It's one of those that I don't think about Avatar, the movie, a lot. I don't. I love the park. I love the area of mm-hmm. the park. It's great. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I sit around and think about, you know, Avatar and Jake and Banshee and Steve Alco. It doesn't resonate with me. I mean, not that How to Train Your Dragon does with me, because
I was going to say, are you saying sitting around thinking about that?
But I think people know more about Dragon than they do Avatar. So to your point where, you know, you're like, I don't care about How to Train Your Dragon. I've never seen it. I don't care. I think a lot of people will be like that, but they're going to love
probably
the land.
But they'll still love the area of the park. Shoot, I know people who don't care about Harry Potter and they still like that. The rides, so.
Yeah, the rides are great. Disneyland has also released some artist renderings about Avatar over in Disneyland, where they're going to build that, how they're going to build that, excuse me. Very water.
They are landlocked.
A lot of water.
They're very landlocked.
So they are.
They don't have a lot of space.
I don't know how they're, I mean, I guess Universal's making it work in Orlando, so Disneyland.
Yeah, and I've seen, last time I was down there, did you see it on the way to the parks where you can see where it's being built, where Epic Universe is being built?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. It's going to be massive.
Huge.
I mean, the downside is it's like half a mile or a mile away from the rest.
I was going to say, so, it's not going to be as easy. I mean, unlike where you can walk right now from, let's say, Hard Rock and just get there. That's not
right. Well, and you know, the argument thing can be made, well, Disney World's like that. Yeah, but Disney World owns all the land in between. So they have like transportation like all over the place, whereas Universal does not own the land between these parks and those parks. So
it's like highways.
Exactly. You can walk it, but you're not going to want to do that.
Housing. I think there's like a couple housing developments.
And honestly, the people that live in those houses can name their price. I mean, at some point in time, Universal wants that land and they're going to write a big fat check. Probably whatever check Disney offers Universal for Marvel, Universal's going to be like, can you just make it out to those people over there? Because I'm paying them. I'm just going to take it from you and give it directly to them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We're just
going to
pass it through.
Pass it through. So we did just get back from Disney World. Great trip. We had Tiffin's for the first time, which was a delicious meal. Stephanie actually made the comment, you know, I love Topolino's, but this might rival Topolino's and how good this is. I mean, just she loved her meal. I thought it was great as well. Very, very good meal. We had lunch at Sci-Fi Cafe, which we always do because my kid loves sci-fi. We had breakfast at Topolino's at the breakfast with Mickey and Minnie and Daisy and Donald. So we had a lot of food, a lot of places we ate. One thing, though, that we always do whenever we go down, and this will be kind of our main little topic here, is the Dash Pass. And the DAS-PASS, of course, is the Disability Access Service. That's what Disney offers to those with special needs who have mostly cognitive issues, but also other special needs issues for waiting in lines. And so, like my kid, he's, you know, autism spectrum. We're at Autism Month, apparently Autism Awareness Month, which my argument is that we're all aware. We're all aware it exists. We see it everywhere. How about some acceptance? That's an entire other conversation we'll have.
I'm sorry, not to lie, it's not funny at it, but just how you said that. We're all aware.
No, it's true. We're all aware. I mean, we're all aware, right? We know it's all there. It's there. And if you haven't
I see what you're saying.
How about acceptance? Yeah. We'll work on that. But anyway.
Okay.
So the DAS-PASS, we did a whole episode, I want to say January of 2023, maybe, a whole episode on the DAS-PASS. How to use it and how, you know, how to get it, how to whatever. And so the bullet point basically is that you know, either go online, you do the online interview, you are given the DAS-PASS, or you go into the park, which is what we did. We were the first ones in guest services at Magic Kingdom on last Wednesday, walked right on in. They hooked us up within 2 minutes. We were walking out the door. It allows you to get access, quicker access to attractions without waiting in the line. So you don't have to go through the line to get all the way through there. You can take the DAS-PASS person, which was Cable, our son, and up to five people. Now you can put as many as you want to on the DAS-PASS list, but you can only select five other people besides Campbell. So for part of the trip, we had four of us, myself, Stephanie, Campbell, and my mother-in-law, Steph's mom. And for part of the trip, we had nine people because Stephanie's brother, his wife, and their three kids came down for part of the week. So we had nine people, put them all in the DAS-PASS. And we were able just to choose five here and five there, you know, whichever way we were doing. So what I figured out, though, is there are some strategies and things to know about the DAS-PASS. Now, it's easy to use. You walk up or you go into your app and, you know, you can find it on several of our Instagrams, whatever. You go on your app and you select DAS-PASS and you select your attraction. You pick out the people you want to do it. It gives you a return time. Okay, easiest pie. Whenever the return time comes in, you have the rest of the day. You don't have to do it within an hour. You just walk up. Whoever's the DAS-PASS person is, they put their magic band up. They get rung in first. You go on in. Great. As soon as you do that touch point, you can do the next one. You can't really stack them. It's just one after the other. But you can do a track. Unlike Genie Plus, you can actually do an attraction multiple times, which we did several times. But what I figured out was there are several strategies to doing some of this, because it's easy to walk in and say, okay, well, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, it's a 2-hour wait. You know, it's 9 o'clock right now. We don't get to ride it until 10:48. What do we do now? And that's a trick, is what do you do now? Because if you have a child who can't wait 2 hours for an attraction, maybe they might have a hard time waiting an hour and a half and to get to the attraction. Now, the beautiful thing is, again, we don't have to wait in line. You don't have to be in the line itself, but you still have to come back. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that people understand is this is not a front of the line pass. This is not a pass like Express Pass at Disney. You show Universal, you show it, you walk right on in, you hop on the ride, you're good. You can't do that.
Right.
A lot of times with the DAS-PASS, you're actually waiting a longer time. You're actually waiting longer to ride the ride. And for people who are confused by that, for example, let's just say that Janet Brady came down. And so it's myself, Campbell, Stephanie, Janet Brady, all five of us. We're going to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We get in there. We set the DAS-PASS at 9 o'clock. Return time. It's a 2-hour wait. Return time is 10:50. So great. Only you know, an hour and 50 minutes. We save 10 minutes. Awesome. So we go do something for an hour and 50 minutes. Yeah. When we get to the line, we go through the Lightning Lane line. Mine Train, and I'm sure you've seen this, Jen, Mine Train is one of those lines where the Lightning Lane can back up quite a bit, and we've seen it a couple times on this trip. If you walk up to the Seven Dwarfs, sometimes they'll have it marked off or they'll have it roped off where it's a switchback. We actually walk in and switch back a couple times to get into the line, which is going to make your wait time like 20 or 25 minutes before you get to ride the ride. So now we've waited 2 hours and 15 minutes, thankfully only a little bit of that in the line.
Right, in the line, but still.
We waited longer, exactly. Now, this happened once at Haunted Mansion. We had a return time, and the line for Haunted Mansion was past the riverboat. It was for the Lightning Lane. It was just so long. Talked to a cast member, and I'm like, well, it's late in the day, and, you know, we wanted to ride Haunted Mansion. It's our return time, and, you know, but this line is huge. I mean, this is basically saying we can't do this line.
Yeah.
And the cast member's like, well, you have two options. You can either do something else, you can cancel it and do another attraction, or you can come back, which is understandable. I had no hard feelings for the cast member. I'm like, let us in early. You know, we can't do that. I mean, we had to make a decision. Right. So, you know, the lines are still there. Sometimes you got to make that decision. So one of the things I figured out was simply, you know, in those mean times, in those big times, Jen, and I'll ask you this. What do you think, what are suggestions for you for those families who aren't in line? You've got 2 hours to kill before you can ride a ride, before you can ride any ride, 2 hours to kill. What would you suggest, say Magic Kingdom or any of the parks, what would you tell a family? What would you say, you know what, in those 2-hour time, here's what you can do.
Yeah. So, I mean, there always are options. And one of the things, especially if you have a kiddo or someone who maybe just wants to get out of the crowds a little bit too, because that can be important. Tom Sawyer Island, unless it's dusk, yes. because that closes at dusk.
Yep.
Tom Sawyer Island is great because honestly, I mean, yeah, you have to get on the boat to get across, but that's kind of fun, right? Like
right.
you're
the
like sailing
fun.
Across
yep.
the rivers yep. of America. Okay. And then you get over there and there's all sorts of space to run around and play. Right. Mm-hmm. And like to go through. And I don't know about you. I've never seen a line there. I've never seen a line on Tom Sawyer Island.
It's deceptively big. You look at it, it looks
deceptive.
Like a tiny little place. And it's actually a very large little area.
So. It really is. There's plenty of things to go in and mm-hmm. explore. I think that is a great way to spend some of your time. Get out some energy until like those lines go down or until you're able to jump onto an attraction. People Mover and Carousel of Progress. Now, People Mover, the line can, you and I both know the line can stretch. Mm-hmm. It's not like it never happens, but just by its very nature, I don't know that I've ever really waited more than like 15 minutes.
Yeah, because the line moves continually.
Because it moves continually. Yeah.
It's like Buzz Lightyear. The line moves continually. It just keeps going.
So it's well, I don't like the buzz cue, but we've talked about that.
right.
I would not get in the Astro Orbiter line.
No, not at all.
And then you can jump right from there, like I said, mm-hmm. To Carousel of Progress, which again, continual. You might wait 5 minutes, whatever, for the next show, but I've never waited longer than that. So I think those are two really good options. Mm-hmm. You could also try to, the Castle stage show, if it's during the day, mm-hmm. whenever the stage show is running, at least it's something to be entertaining and it runs pretty frequently.
Correct.
So those are some of the things that just come front. Oh, or the Liberty Bell. That runs
the riverboat. Yes, you're right.
The riverboat. Right. Mm-hmm. It is a Liberty Bell, is it not?
I think. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's called the Liberty Bell.
It's the boat. Yeah. It's the only boat. It's the big boat.
The
that
only
goes the
large steamboat that, it goes every half 20 minutes.
Every 20 minutes, something like that. It's not as long as half hour.
Yeah. So if you time it right, you're not waiting very long. You're getting right on the boat. And
you'll see it if it's there.
Stuff.
And if it's not there, you
right
won't see it. It's okay. It's a big boat. Well, and you're right about all of that. And let me just make a blanket statement for anybody listening. Of course, my child's experience is different than any other autism child's experience. There are some children that cannot wait at all. They can't do 5 minutes, whatever. And, I would say that's one thing is know the cap on your child. Know exactly what your child's limits are before they kind of melt down a little bit. Mine is about 20 to 25 minutes early in the morning. In the evening time, if he has a device, he probably can do a 25-minute ride, 25-minute wait. Yeah. Maybe even 30 minutes, depending on what's going on. So you kind of got to judge that. What we have done in the past, and we actually did this a couple of days ago, is we hit some of the small things immediately. Dumbo was like a 10-minute wait. We immediately jumped on Dumbo, and then we set a Dash Pass for Barnstormer. And so the way it worked out, because Barnstormer had such a small wait, when we got done with Dumbo, we immediately walked over to Barnstormer and got right on it. And then after we did Barnstormer, we set it for like teacups. And so we did several small attractions right there, Buzz Lightyear, things like that didn't have very long waits to begin with. Because naturally, as you watch the crowds in Magic Kingdom, they go immediately to Mine Train. They go to Big
Thunder.
They go to Space Mountain. They go to things like that. Actually, what we did first on the first day was Space Mountain. We immediately went to it and
walked
right on up. And we set a Dash Pass for it and walked right on in. Now, Space Mountain, Small World, and there are a few attractions like this. They have a separate entrance for what we do. And what we do is we get a red tag for his stroller. We have a medical stroller. It's a very large stroller. It's very heavy. Unfortunately, it collapses, but it doesn't lock. So if I collapse it onto the bus, I've got to hold it. And that'll be important in a second. You have a red tag on there. And this allows you to take that stroller with your child in it anywhere that a wheelchair can go. So we went to Pirates, we'll take the stroller into the line itself. So that way he's sitting, he's not bothering people. He's not making noises. He's not nudging people or whatever. We had this discussion with another one of our agents who has a son with Downs. And, he is very he talks to everybody. Doesn't matter who it is.
Which
is great. He just talks to everybody. But at some point it's like, okay, good. Reel it back. And our stroller for us keeps our kid from doing a lot of that, which it's disturbing to other people, or it can be. And so, you have to have the red tag prominent because the cast members, you can watch them and watch their eyes as they kind of cut to the strollers. You're pushing it in, looking for that red tag, and sometimes they'll say, do you have a red tag? Okay, good. Perfect. Y'all enjoy. Yeah. Have a magical time. Whatever. Every now and then I'll get a guest. Hey, the strollers belong out there. Not for us. They don't. And they'll just keep walking.
Right.
And so Small World, a big Space Mountain, and a few others, Big Thunder, they have special entrances for wheelchair access.
Right.
You
right.
go to those when you have a return time, they'll ask for your return time, and we don't have to wait. Like, the line is like nothing. You skip the entire Lightning Lane line, just go straight through, which is great. Other attractions like Pirates, things like that, you have, you know, you have longer waits and such, which is fine. The red tag is actually really, really good to use for the stroller. What we found on the buses is kind of a trick, because it can be loaded like a wheelchair or a scooter.
Yeah.
And that is your right. And parents, you need to know this. With that red tag on there, that is your right to get loaded if you choose to load it. I don't like to load it a lot, especially if it's really, really busy, because I'm like, this is taking up seats from other people. But the medical stroller we had this time around was very bulky. It was hard to collapse. And it had his food attached to the side, like a little pouch. It had like some things important to him on there. We'd have had to clean the whole thing out. So a lot of times we just had it loaded and we're like, they're just going to have to deal with it. I mean, and I would tell the bus driver, it's a medical stroller, just so you know, we're not whatever. And so when we get on the bus, a lot of times I will tell him, go ahead and hop out, Campbell. Let's sit in the seat over here so we can move the stroller around a lot easier.
Yeah, right.
And we had a bus driver that said, well, he hopped out. I don't have to load this. And I was like, well, it's a medical stroller and it's got a tag on it. I was like, respectfully, you do have to load it because we need this loaded. We can't just collapse this.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to do it, but I don't have to. And I didn't push back on it, but you do. that's the whole thing too, is, you know, you have to, with a red tag stroller, we have caught the eye of some other guests that see it. And they're like, well, he's capable of walking around. Why does he have a stroller? It's one of those things. And special needs parents know this. You just like brush it off and go, whatever, it's you know, nobody knows, and you know, which is why one of the things that's really taught me over the last, I'd say, decade is to never look at somebody and go, well, they don't look like anything's wrong with them. There may not be anything physically wrong with them, but,
and very often it's invisible. I mean there are very, very many times where it's invisible.
Exactly. Or, you know what, maybe they're great, but then, you know, and we have another agent who has children who can't do long walks and can't do a lot of standing.
Exactly.
And they look fine. They look perfect. And they're running around having a good time. But 10 minutes, they're like, I got to sit down. And that's okay too, you know. So for
that, sometimes it's just knowing. Yeah, it's just knowing what, you know, I know other people who have like ankle, like if they would walk the parks all day, like they could go whatever, they'd go to the mall for an hour. But if you're walking for 8 hours, you're walking 10 miles a day, they're going to start having issues with a knee or with an ankle or whatever it is. So,
So the stroller is really, really a big deal. And you get that the same time you set up your dash pass at the guest relations, tell them you need a red tag stroller. They put it on there. It lasts for the week. If it messes up, just go and get another one, which ours wasn't sticking very well. So we had to get another one, which is great, which is fine. With the dash pass itself, though, working through the parks, we're rope droppers. If you listen to last week's episode, you know that Jen and Heather are not rope droppers.
But we are
one of the things you can do, though, if you get into the park a little bit later, and guess what? We're rope droppers, but that doesn't mean we get to the park every single time for rope drop, because we have a kid. Kid has issues sometimes. Sometimes it's just getting to the park that early is just not feasible. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Any kid, anybody has these problems. We have these problems too. And we've gone into the park a little bit later. And when you do that, you have to decide, okay, which attractions do we want to make sure we do?
Yeah.
We will try to push the ones that have longer wait times, like the Mine Train, the Space Mountain, the Flight of Passage. Do those before we do lunch. And say, you know what? We just got off a ride. It's 11:30. Huh? Okay, so the wait time for Flight of Passage is 11:30 now. It's 1:23. It's almost 2 hours. Let's go ahead and set it up for the Dash Pass. Let's go have some lunch. And then go have lunch.
Great.
Shop around, do some shopping. You've now killed an hour and something like that. You know, go see It's Tough to Be a Bug, which I know that you love.
No. I won't,
you know,
no,
or
thank you.
Try to see Flights of Wonder, something, maybe throw a show in there, something like that.
I like that
around.
One.
You know, exactly.
Yes.
At Epcot, Figment is never a long line. So, when Soarin' is a 55-minute wait and we have an hour to kill, you know, let's stop here. Let's grab a snack. That'll take a good 25 or 30 minutes. Let's go see Figment, and then we'll go. So pace your attraction wait times around other activities that you're going to do. You know, we're going to, you know, at our Magic Kingdom Day, we actually wanted to do, I want to say was it Space Mountain? There was something that was a longer wait time. Maybe it was Seven Dwarfs. I don't know. Had like a longer wait time of like 2 hours. We left the park. We hit the monorail. We went in the big circle. Came back into the park. Time to do Seven Dwarfs. It was great. And then we set up something as soon as we came in. Now, another trick too is when you have larger groups. We had 9 people in our second part of our trip.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so again, you cannot put more than 5 people on there with the Dash Pass person. So Campbell, unfortunately, had to ride things twice. He had to do Seven Dwarfs twice.
Oh, I'm sure it was awful.
He had to ride Tomorrowworld twice. He had to ride all these rides twice, you know, which I was very clear with him and, you know, ask him directly, do you want to ride these twice? Do you want to ride this twice? Yes. Every time was yes. because he loves riding the rides. And at any point in time, if he said, you know what, basically, I don't want to ride this again. Okay, well, guess what? Guess what? Whoever did get to ride the first time didn't ride right now because he didn't want to ride it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did Barnstormer, we did Dumbo, things like that. You know, and we were able to kind of pick and choose and say, okay, so let's put five people on this ride. Campbell rides it. Let's go get a snack. Let's go get some dinner or whatever because we have an hour wait time and now we're riding again. And so, yeah, just some strategies that kind of I wanted to offer up a little bit for the Dash Pass itself, because it's one thing to get the Dash Pass and say, great, we can just, you know, do one ride after the other. Those wait times can be a little much. They can be a lot. So you really need to kind
of stagger out. For sure. And especially you were spring break. I mean, you were spring break week.
Yep. I mean, it was very busy. It was very, very busy. The Genie Plus sold out for three or four straight days.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
$39 per person. For Magic Kingdom or for Park Hoppers, I think it was 35 for Hollywood, 32 for Epcot, and 29 for Animal Kingdom, I believe.
Oh my god,
we didn't buy Genie at all. We decided not to. We did buy Tron and we did buy Guardians.
The individual.
These are and Tron and Guardians, and I was Tron and Guardians are now things that like instinctively I just buy. I just don't worry about it. Go ahead and do it. It's just easier.
Same.
It's easier. It's just easier to do, and that way, you know. And we did it obviously for the other adults in our group as well. And they had the freedom just to go whenever they wanted to go. It wasn't like, you have to ride with me, you have to ride with Campbell. Virtual queue, I think we mentioned this before, but just to kind of refresh. If you want to ride Tron or Guardian with a Dash Pass, you have to get in the virtual queue. You cannot say, can we set up for Guardians? We didn't get a virtual queue, but it's a 3-hour wait time. So we'll set it up that way.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to get in the virtual queue. Now, keep in mind, the virtual queue is basically the standby line. You're basically reserving standby line. So if it's an hour and 40, hour and 40 minute wait time for the ride, that means you're going to be in that virtual queue line for an hour and 40 minutes, getting into the physical standby line for an hour and 40 minutes or whatever the wait time is. Lightning Lane, obviously, is much faster. You get that by purchasing it. So if you have the Dash Pass for the virtual queue, you just go up to the cast member and say, hey, we have the Dash Pass for virtual queue. We need to go to the Lightning Lane, and they will switch you over immediately. You go right into the Lightning Lane. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful
system. If you don't have anything, you're not getting in.
Exactly. Or you can just purchase it, which is, again, what we did. We just paid for it and was done with it. You know, and that's a luxury that we've been able to wonderfully have. There are people that don't want to spend that money, and that's great. You know, we could always do it, but we've got to the point in our careers where we can, which I'm very, very blessed by. But it's just easier for us to say, you know what? We can pick our time. I got to ride Tron at night, by the way, finally.
Oh, isn't it great at night?
Oh, it was wonderful. The lights were great. Good. The fireworks were going off as we were riding it. So it was spectacular. It's really, really cool. So anyway, there's some tips and tricks for the Dash Pass, using the Dash Pass and little strategies here and there. Please feel free to let us know if you have any questions. I'm happy to help. I help autistic families all the time enjoy their park trips. Yes. Actually, I got to meet another one of our families who they've been going several years now, and I've already booked them for the cabins for next year because they love the cabins. Cabins, by the way. Their autistic child, they go for 8 days to Disney World. They only go to the parks 3 days. They have days off in between. Because they just love the area. They let him run around. They go to the pool. Yeah. They just have a great time, which is fantastic, which is awesome. So there's a lot to be had there. I think, and now obviously I haven't been to, you know, most theme parks in the world. There's a lot of parks I've never seen.
Sure.
But I think that Disney does such a spectacular job with special needs. Special diets is another conversation we could have.
Because
we're able to talk to chefs. We're able to get gluten-free, soy-free, blah, 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 blah. You know, there was one, our shout out to our server, Mike D, over at Topolino's for breakfast. He actually, what term did he use? Something about bacon with no nitrates and something else. He used a very technical
sulfates, or
something like that. I don't remember what it was, but he was like, we'll get your bacon with no nitrates and something, whatever. He said very technical. And he said that for our kid. And I'm like, this is why we come to Disney. I cannot imagine even Universal going, we'll get your, we'll patch your bacon down so it's not quite as juicy. Is that okay? I mean, I don't know. I've heard some stories, but Disney's what they do is just phenomenal in terms of catering. It almost to the point where if they can't do something, we know they can't do it. It's not them going.
No, if they say they can't, they can't
and,
for some reason.
You know, they're very honest. Like there was one dish that we ordered, and she was like, "Okay," she said, "we'll get you this dish. There's no soy, no gluten, but I can't promise you we won't have any dairy in it because it's made on a counter next to some dairy product." There may be a trickle of dairy that's in there. And she's like very particular. She's like, I don't want you to get it and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just Perfect. Thank you. This is awesome. So very.
Yeah.
And they care, which is great. So.
And I was actually talking with a client about this morning, who came back from their Disney cruise and they loved it. And they were just talking about how phenomenal everything was. And now they're going to go do it up in World for Thanksgiving. And they're very excited. But they were talking about how, we understand why our friends love it so much. And I guess they have a kiddo with some special needs.
Yes.
Dietary and otherwise, you know. And they were just talking about how, like, they always know that it's a safe place and that's where they can, that they feel very comfortable, I should say, with everything in the service. Yeah. And they know that it's going to be magical.
And my kid loves it. My kid absolutely loves it. Yeah. And, you know, it's one thing I've also seen too. And I know this was in the Star Wars area and there was somewhere else I saw it too. They put two companion bathrooms, not just one, but two companion bathrooms.
Oh, wow.
In bathrooms. And what I've also seen too is a lot of the bathrooms now, the blowers have started coming out. They're not putting blowers in all the bathrooms.
I am seeing that, yeah.
Which is a big deal for sensory because my kid will not go into a regular bathroom. Has to be a companion. He's one of those that he remembers things. And if something sets him off like 5 years ago, he won't go back. And so there's a playground area here that something happened like 5 or 6 years ago. He won't touch it. Like I don't know what the place looks like. They may have reinvented the entire place. I have no idea, but he won't go back. And so he remembers the bathrooms. He knows where the companions are.
Yeah.
And he'll say, you know, no companion, no bathroom here. You want a companion over there? Yes. So because he knows there's a companion over there, but not over here. And so they've become, I think, very, very good about that as well. So anyway, there's some DashPass strategies for you. Please let us know. We're happy to help you with any kind of planning on things like that, because we take this seriously, too. We want you and your kids to have and adults to have the best time ever, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what your obstacles may be. Forget all of it and have a good time at Disney World. Jen, where can we find you at Disney?
Where can we find you online?
At Disney.
I mean, like maybe Disney. Next week you'll find me on a Royal Caribbean cruise. I don't know.
That's true. Me too.
Me at Upon the Star Jen, or my personal is at Jen_Novotny.
Perfect. Find me on Instagram at the Magic on a Dollar. Find me on Facebook at Magic on a Dollar and Disney on a Dollar. Which, by the way, this week is when this episode is released. We are finishing up our Magical Movie Madness tournament.
Oh yeah.
Jen, we have a final four. So quick hit. Lion King versus Beauty and the Beast. Your favorite.
I love both.
Lion
of those
King versus
so
Beauty.
Much. I mean, I got to give it to Belle, but I love both of them.
Okay. All right. Tangled versus Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins wins always.
Of course. Like this. So now this puts up a Mary Poppins versus Beauty and the Beast. Would you immediately go Mary Poppins, or would there be a little hesitation of ooh?
It would be an internal struggle a little bit. I'm still giving it to Mary, right? Because I love her so much.
Yes.
But it would be very, very hard.
Yes. Well, Mary Poppins defeated Moana yesterday. And that was tough. A lot of people had a problem with Mary Poppins defeating Moana.
You know what? Quasi-producer Heather was not mad at me. She was not mad at me for it. She was like, it's okay if it's Poppins. Yep. I was like, okay.
And by the beauty of the Magical Movie Madness tournament, where we put all the Disney movies into a big tournament and people vote on them, Tangled narrowly defeated Avengers Endgame. And so it's a match you'd only find on my website, my pages, right? But we're determining your favorite Disney movie of all time.
Sorry, that's hilarious.
And the Fantastic Four is Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Tangled, and Mary Poppins. All four have won before. Beauty and the Beast has won 5 times previously because people love that movie. And
because it's a great movie.
It cracks me up. The people are like, I don't want Beast to win again. I'm like, I can't help it. People love Beauty and the Beast. What can I tell you? I don't know. But find me on all the places and go vote. You can vote and everything and have a chance to win our grand prize at the very end, which we'll be giving away a $50 Amazon gift card to one lucky winner as well. So if you follow me on the pages, if you don't follow me, find us in all the places. Upon a Star Travel. You can find that on Twitter and on X and on Facebook and on Instagram and all this TikTok and such and all the places. Find us there. And of course, the MSE podcast at gmail.com. That's where you can email us your thoughts and your questions and such and find us everywhere else. So, all right, Jen, that's it. You are busy. You're a busy, busy beaver today. So you need
you
to go
too.
Keep being busy. And I am also busy getting back from it's a whole, you return from vacation. And you sit down on your computer and you open it up and you're like, I don't want to be here. I want to be in the People Mover right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to only say morning, because if it was a good morning, I'd be walking through Spaceship Earth right now. I'm sitting here looking at an email from another vendor that's like changing something in the crate. Yeah. So, all right, Jen, don't forget to thank your Phoenicia.
Thank you for listening to the Main Street Electrical Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The MSE Podcast, or visit our website at themsepodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe. And may all your wishes come true.